selection of kicks. And it's not your day if I'm selecting your bitch. I got a watch on my wrist, it's made by the Swiss, worn by the rich. Spit that shit you can sniff. I got no time to play around, it's way too much in my mix. I'm talking dollars and cents, nigga, dollars and cents. I made an honest attempt to take my dollars and flip amongst the pilots and crips. I'm talking violence and shit without no sign it exists. I made my mind, this is it. I weighed the risk and the reward and put my grind to the shit. And now the money, the power, I'm entitled to this. And all the hating and debating, that's the coward of shit. Plymouth Rock, you ain't believe till I arrive at the shit. So hey, nigga, go longer, you can die where you sit.
If you ain't a real nigga, get the fuck away from me. In other words, go long, bitch, nigga, go long. If you ain't a real nigga,
all right, WWFLIP, When We Feel Like It podcast, where we broadcast when the fuck we feel like it. Sean right back in the building, and that song right there is by Nipsey Hussle, RIP, and that song is called Go Long. And one, I played that song because the H-Town connection is featuring Zero and Slim Thug, and also, of course, the tragic events that just happened to Nipsey Hussle recently. And once again, RIP to that man. Now, for the most part, I know a lot of people who listen to the show recently have only really heard me do podcasts by myself, but I've also had a lot of episodes where I had co-hosts, and I used to always advocate for Nipsey real heavy on earlier episodes, and I was always talking about the streets are the streets and all this type of shit, and we'll get to that a little bit later in a second. But anyway, for those who don't know, Nipsey Hussle was one of my favorite rappers, and also one of my favorite current people, period, because all the shit he was doing. And once again, this is not some new fan shit or none of this other goofy shit that a lot of people are doing. You can go back and listen to the earlier episodes and you can hear this shit. Me and my other co-host, Mike, we had a lengthy fucking debate that lasted about 3 episodes about about me saying Nipsey Hussle had the album of the year. And we were going back and forth about all this shit for at least 3 episodes. So, I mean, this shit is not new. I also played his songs on another podcast that we had, Size 10 Podcast, which we kind of put on the shelf for right now until, you know, things clear up. But long story short is, I really fucked with Nipsey Hussle, so that shit really hurt me when this man passed away. And I hear a lot of people saying things like, where was his people? How come nobody shot back? This, that, and the other. Which all that does make sense for you to feel that way. But at the same time, you're never going to be 100% ready for things that are coming your way 24 hours within a day. It's sad that they caught him in that one vulnerable moment, but for the most part, he was moving like that. But he just, you know, it happens, man. That one indiscretion, that one time where you just slip up, that one time where you just decide to forego certain precautions or security measures or whatever it is you want to call it, that one time is all it takes for it to change the remainder of your life or for you to lose your life. I've been there. I've seen it. And it's sad to see, man. Real sad to see. He was just doing way too much within the world. It was a fucked up time. It's crazy because me and Will had just finished recording our Us review, the movie review. And right after that, that's when all the messages start flooding in and shit about Nipsey Hussle got shot, Nipsey Hussle this. We don't know who it is, but somebody passed away. We don't know which one, but somebody on the scene passed away, all this type of shit. It's like, damn, what the fuck is going on? But by the time I looked back on my phone, it was already a done deal. He was already pronounced dead. And really, since then, my whole week was pretty much fucked up from there. It was like a real gloomy fucking week. Not to mention all the other shit that's been going on in the news that I pretty much kind of avoided. I kind of avoided episodes. I didn't really feel like talking about all that shit. But now, it's pretty much I don't have a choice. You know, the whole college scam shit, the whole New Zealand shooting shit. All this shit lumped up into this one big ball of just fuck shit. Just way too much shit to get into. And I don't even know how I'm gonna dissect all this shit just yet. Because even though I didn't personally know Nipsey Hussle, that shit hit pretty close to home because I was real big on his work. I watched all his interviews, all that shit. And everybody's going in about the whole conspiracy theory shit and all this other shit going on. And for me, I see it a different way. I mean, all the people outside of my family that I look up to and I love and admire, they have all either been followed by the FBI or have been murdered. So for me, I see things a little different. Now, this specific case, I don't know exactly how it's going to boil down. It is looking a little deeper than what the eyes may see at the moment. But I can't lump all these into conspiracy theories when, once again, all the people that I loved and admired, that I looked up to and draw inspiration from, have either been followed by the FBI or have been murdered. I can't really call that a conspiracy theory. That's just real life. That's all facts. All these people are gone. That's reality. That's not some made up pull a rabbit out of hat type shit. Like the man who actually pulled the trigger and killed Nipsey. He had just came home from prison. Yet he still has fucking handguns and shit, which one of his deals that he cut himself was pretty much mandated that he had to stay away from firearms and all this type of shit in order for him to stay on the streets. And obviously that shit didn't last. And a lot of people pretty much are just like low-key trying to blame Nipsey for his own death type shit. And it's hard for me to do that. I can't necessarily blame him because, once again, he was a street smart dude. He was very intelligent. He knew how to move. He knew the repercussions of having a store within this type of environment. He knew what all this would bring on. But once again, he just got caught in that one vulnerable moment. And everybody has that downtime, has that vulnerable space within their day or within their life that if somebody really did apply that pressure at that very second, you would pretty much suffer the same fate. And as you already know, once again, if you go back and listen to previous episodes that I've had, early episodes, you will know that I've always said the streets are the streets and you can't run away from this type of shit. This shit comes to your doorstep no matter where you go. So you already know how I feel about being prepared. You know, I advocate real heavy about being prepared about this type of shit. But once again, even I am not above being caught up in some shit. It's hard to really explain. You're going to have some slip-ups, and you just try to minimize those slip-ups, the amount of slip-ups and the amount of time within the slip-ups. So again, I can't really fault them for it. And it's hard for me to put all the words together because this is really my first time really fully speaking about this shit. And the shit is bringing up emotions because, I mean, once again, I really fucked with Nipsey Hussle. He was one of my favorite rappers. And it's really hard to believe that he's actually gone. I mean, it's real fucked up, man. It's real fucked up. Because I've used his motivation to get through a lot of tough times and shit. And I'm not saying this on some real sappy, corny shit either. I mean, this is just real life situations. For instance, this podcast came to be because I was at my job one day. Somebody was talking to me, asking me to do some real circus shit. And I'm just looking at him like, you never really ride for me. There's this one girl in particular at the job, man. She never really rode for me. She knew all the shit that I do at the job. She knew how valuable I was as a person at the job and how much productivity I brung to the job. But she's still allowing these people to think that I'm a fucking problem and all this other shit. And she's trying to delegate these type of things I need to do at the job. But she's not telling them that I'm really facilitating a lot of real shit at the job. But you just keep letting them ride my fucking back about this bullshit. So I'm just looking at her like, you know what? Fuck you and this job. I'm right on out with this bitch. So I leave the fucking job. I don't have no fucking plans. I have no fucking future ideas or thoughts of where money is going to come from. I just walked away from my job spontaneously. Damn near for no reason. Outside of being annoyed. And I'm like, you know what, man? I'm just really pursue this podcast shit. I'm going to get this shit rocking. Because I don't got time for this little sucker hoe ass shit. So I leave the job. I'm now thinking about how I'm going to scrape up some money and all this type of shit. I'm like, okay, what the fuck am I going to really do? How the fuck am I going to get money? I just made probably the dumbest decision I could fucking make. I quit my job without no fucking actual plans. Or without having another job already in play. Or another source of revenue already in play. So I'm like, alright. I go look in the closet. I'm like, alright, I gotta go ahead and make this trip to motherfucking California. And I say California for people who may feel lost right now. Like, what the fuck is it? Any of this shit have to do anything? It's gonna come all back around. You'll see. Just follow me. But anyway, I start looking in the closet for like certain valuable clothing items and shoes and all this type of shit. I pack all this shit up. I put it in the fucking car. So now my car is filled with nothing but fucking thousands of dollars of valuables and shit. I'm now on the road to fucking California. This is like a 24-hour drive, by the way. Not including sleeping at rest stops and all this other seedy type of behavior where, you know, it can get real dangerous and real questionable. So anyway, I'm making this trip. I'm driving. I'm like around Phoenix area or somewhere like that. And it's fucking flooding. It's rain is pouring down. It's going crazy. I can't even see the fucking road or what's in front of me. My car is sliding all over the place because I need new tires and all this shit. It's looking real crazy. It's like it felt like I made the very most dumbest decision I could ever make in my fucking life. This shit is looking real questionable. It's looking real stupid. So I'm questioning myself as I'm driving. I'm like, God damn, what the fuck am I doing? This is the dumbest shit I could possibly fucking do. None of this shit is adding up. It looks like I'm about to die in a fucking flood and get ran off the road. Because cars are flying by me like it's not even raining. And like once again, it's not even just raining. It's fucking flooding. I can't see the road. I can't see where I'm going. I'm still driving. I'm trying to figure this shit out. I got shit all on my mind. Don't have a dollar to my fucking name. I don't know what the fuck is going on. So I'm like, all right, man. I just got to tough this shit out, man. So I'm driving. I finally make it through the fucking flood and all this shit. things looking back up again. So now I'm making it to closer to California. I'm finally around here. And now it's my fucking birthday. And I'm in the parking lot of California with fucking homeless people and shit around me and all this type of shit. It's fucking damn near freezing cold. I don't want to keep my car on because I don't want people to know that I'm in my car. So I'm in my car damn near freezing to death in the fucking parking lot with homeless people and shit around me. And other people who are sleeping in the parking lot. Because Los Angeles and shit is a tricky area. All the people who are like sleeping outside or sleeping in cars and shit, they're not all homeless. It's just people who don't want to spend money on fucking accommodations. Other people who are traveling, all types of shit. And once again, it's a very dangerous environment because, you know, everybody's looking for a dollar. Everybody's looking for a come up. Everybody's looking for that one slight advantage to get some shit really popping. So I'm in this fucking parking lot, terrified to fucking go to sleep. Because once again, it's nothing but wolves around me and shit. It's my fucking birthday. People are texting me, happy birthday and all this happy-go-lucky type shit. And I'm having the worst fucking day of my fucking life. Trying to keep my fucking sanity together. It's like, dog, what the fuck? Is this what my life really is right now? I'm a grown-ass man in the parking lot in California on my birthday. No money to me. Don't have a job to come back home to. Nothing. I don't have nothing to look forward to, my nigga. I just got a fucking... I just have a fucking intense passion to get some new shit rocking. That's all I have is a vision. So anyway, I'm enduring all this shit still. I'm like, dog, this shit is so fucking crazy. It's in the middle of the night. It's probably like 3 o'clock in the morning or some shit. And really, I'm just trying to make it through this time period to get to this store, to take all my fucking valuables to the store, to get some immediate money and take it to another store like Flight Club to where I could put my shoes in there and, you know, they could sell those to the customers and I get my money through PayPal and all this other type of shit. So anyway, I'm in this parking lot freezing to fucking death, trying to figure life out. And then, you know, the sun finally comes out and all this shit. So I drive to the location. I'm not waiting outside. And as I'm waiting, I get the new alert that, you know, a new Breakfast Club interview will drop. It's fucking Nipsey Hussle. And he's talking this shit on the Breakfast Club. I'm sitting here watching the interview while I'm waiting for the store to open. And, you know, he's saying all the inspiring shit. He's saying all the real shit. If you're familiar with Nipsey Hussle, you already know what time it is. You already know the wavelength and all that shit he was on. He was talking about Dr. CB and all this other shit. In the documentary, he's trying to get jumped off. He's talking about his new album, Victory Lap. He's talking about all this shit. And I'm really fucking with it. I'm really loving the interview. I'm loving the vibe. I'm loving the motivation. But I can't properly enjoy it. I can't properly enjoy it because I'm having the worst fucking day of my fucking life. This shit was insane, man. It was like a never-ending fucking day of just pure bullshit. So I finally get to the... I finally finish the interview. The store finally opens and all this shit. I finally go over there and try to send all my shit in. The store don't even take half this shit. The store takes probably like 25%. Maybe even less, like 10% of the shit that I brought. But it was enough money to pay the rent and all this type of shit. So it's like, dog, what the fuck is going on? I just drove fucking 30 hours to this place and they not even fucking with me. This shit is ridiculous. I want to burn this whole fucking store down right now. It's like, dog, now I really made the worst decision. Like, what the fuck did I really just do? I just quit my job, took all my valuables to California and all this shit, and still don't have no fucking money. And they not even fucking with me when I get to the store. So luckily, I didn't even, well, they didn't take my shit, one. So I had to go to Flight Club. I go to Flight Club. And for people who don't know what Flight Club is, it's like a consignment store with tennis shoes and shit. Expensive vintage and new, you know, Jordans and Nikes and Adidas and all this other shit, Yeezys and all that type of shit. So I take my shoes and certain things up there. It's looking like it's gonna work out better. It's more consignment level, which means you don't get immediate money. You get it when your product sells. So, you know, while I'm still in the area, I'm driving around looking at shit and all this other bullshit. Cause I'm like, fuck it. I ain't got shit else to do. Don't have no fucking job. I might as well drive around and at least enjoy myself for a little bit. So I'm riding around looking at bullshit, then I'm just like, fuck it, man. Let me get the fuck out of this bullshit state. And with that said, I love the California, but you know, I was in my feelings at the time, so I'm just talking my shit. But anyway, I love California, by the way. Damn near moved there. I even used to work there for like damn near a year with the company and all this type of shit. But that's a whole nother story. So now I'm on my way home. I still don't really have no fucking money. Because once again, the store didn't take most of my shit. And my other shit is tied up in terms of, you know, when somebody will actually buy it. You have to, you know, it's a waiting game. And how it depends on how popular your shit is and how many of the same exact items they have of your shit. Luckily, the shit that I typically have is I won't say rare, but it's not common in terms of what people just have readily available in stock. But it's not necessarily rare, per se. Some of it was, some of it wasn't. So now I'm riding home, still trying to figure out what the fuck I'm gonna do when I get home. So I get to the crib, now, you know, it's really set in now, because, you know, car note don't stop, fucking rent don't stop, insurance don't stop, cell phone bills, all this shit don't stop. I'm paying my rent and all this shit with no fucking job for months at a time. Nobody knows this shit either, except my cousin, which was a former co-host, which is why I was really pissed off when he left the show, because he knew all the shit I was really dealing with. He knew all the shit I sacrificed to create this podcast. That's why I was really mad at him when he left the show, because it's like, nigga, you know what I put on the line to create this show. And that shit really pissed me off. But anyway, beyond all that, I'm back at the crib really trying to figure shit out. And that's when I, you know, got my resume and all that shit together, start shooting that shit out there. And, you know, right before I about to give up all fucking hope. Also, by the way, when I got home, I spent thousands of dollars on podcasting equipment and shit without a job. I did all this shit without even knowing how this shit was going to turn out, what's going to happen, all this shit. I bought thousands of dollars of equipment without having a fucking job and without having a future job in sight and without having real money. Like, you know what I'm saying? All this shit could have ended real bad. It was looking real shaky for a while. That's why if you go back and listen to my very first episode, I had no fucking energy. I had no fucking, I could barely even talk. Like, I was real beaten up. I was real shaken up. I was on my last fucking leg. So if you go back and listen to the very first episode, I sound crazy as shit because, you know, I was super exhausted. All this shit came together at the very last second. Literally minutes before I recorded that first episode, I got hired at this job. I had just did the job interview and all this shit. And I had got the call right before we recorded that I was accepted to the job. So all that shit just turned around real quick for me, which I was thankful for. But again, I put the work in. I put the leg work in. I sacrificed what I had to sacrifice. I put real sweat and equity and blood in the game to get what I got. And now I have this, you know, beautiful outlet to speak my mind, talk my shit, chop it up with people who are like-minded or who just appreciate the content, which I appreciate everybody for listening. And, you know, I feel like Nipsey stood for the same type of shit. That's why I'm speaking about all this shit right now. This was really going to be like a different type of episode. Some of this shit was stuff I was saving for, you know, an entire episode of shit I was going to break down about myself and other shit. But I felt it's important to do it right now because he was a very important, special person that I feel like he deserves this type of send-off. I mean, as the world should know, I mean, his funeral is being held. Well, I believe it's already been held at the Staples Center. I believe it already happened, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, because I think the police and shit spoke. Which I feel a type of way about that because I have no idea if they aided in his shooting or not. And once again, I know the whole conspiracy theory shit and all this other bullshit, but you have to understand, the dude that killed Nipsey was a known snitch. If you are a known snitch, that means you cooperate with law enforcement. So it's no telling what type of deal they had for him and all this type of shit. Because I find it hard to believe they wouldn't able to find him and all this type of shit. When there are video cameras all over the fucking city and all over the street, all over Nipsey's store, they had the whole play-by-play. Everybody knew who killed Nipsey right when it happened. Everybody already knew. The streets was already talking. And people within the killer's family was already coming up missing. At least 3 people got murdered from his family to draw him out. And I find it real hard to believe that they couldn't find this man until days later type shit. That shit is real questionable to me. And he didn't even go anywhere. He went like 20 minutes away from the fucking crime scene. That's where that mental institute or whatever it is, it's located. It's like 20 minutes away from the fucking scene type shit. It's like, nah, dog, that shit ain't adding up. And this motherfucker has a high profile lawyer. The same man who was on OJ's side and shit. It's like, my nigga, how are you affording this type of representation? And from what I understand, it's a fucking silent donor. And we need to know who the fuck this silent donor is and all this type of shit. You know, it's a lot of shaky, questionable shit going on, but I'm not going to get too far deep into that shit until more information comes out, but it's not looking good right now. It is not looking good, because I feel like he died to try to beef up the fucking crime rate and to make the gang activity and shit go all the way back up, because gang activity in LA has been, you know, real minimal lately. Now, certain celebrities and shit still get extorted. Don't get that fucked up. Some people still come up missing and all that type of shit, but it hasn't really been no gang on gang violence per se in LA in a long ass time in terms of real high profile bloodshed everywhere type shit. That shit hasn't happened in a long time. And I really do feel for Lower London, because it's gonna be really hard for her to have another meaningful relationship again with another man and feel that same connection as she did with Nipsey. Because for your loved one to be taken away like that, no one could ever replace that. She would probably never love on that level again, unfortunately. And it's just a fucked up situation. And all this RIP shit that people giving out and all this shit, it's like, yeah, that's cool, but if y'all not gonna do shit on that level, I'm gonna have to ask you to shut the fuck up. You're not trying to add no shit to the game. And the reason why this shit hit me so hard, because, you know, I speak about the same shit that Nipsey does. That's why I don't really promote the podcast, because I know what type of heat can come my way from doing this type of shit, from saying the shit that I say. That's why I try to build my deck bigger before I really, you know, commit myself to this shit, because I don't have enough lines of defense to protect myself from what can come my way from saying the shit that I say on these podcast episodes. There's not enough defense for me financially and just physically. All my sources of income could easily be taken away from me from shit that I say on this podcast if people really just knew what I was saying. That's why I ain't just in a rush to fucking promote this shit. I wanna build up all my defenses before I really attack all this shit on the level that I want to do it on. But all the shit he was doing is all the shit I aspire to do. And with all this said, again, it comes back down to integrity. I'd rather be Nipsey Hussle knowing his fate than a Steve Harvey ass nigga, any of that shit. This is why I ride so hard on fake shit, because you fucking flood your mind with all this bullshit, and while you doing it, all the real people around you are being wiped the fuck out with no defense. Nobody was around to protect Nipsey, but you know, a motherfucker like Steve Harvey gonna live forever, because he just surrounds himself with sucker shit. He don't stand on shit. Nothing to this magnitude would ever happen to a motherfucker like that, because he more valuable to the people in the system than anybody else. And I don't know, man. I'm just kind of upset, pissed off, annoyed, everything. Because people love to act like I just be saying some random wild shit or shit that don't make sense. But all the shit that I say has already come back around full circle. People just have to listen to my earlier episodes and you will see that all the shit that I've said has already happened on multiple situations. Multiple situations. And once again, this is why I've took like a little league of absence, because I really don't want to be super serious in every single sentence that I say. I like to have lighthearted shit. I like to have jokes infused in my content and all this type of shit. But right now, it's no time for fucking joking. That was the whole point of my Us review and shit like that, because once again, we was talking about the whole dance and shit and how people dancing and you doing all that shit while real shit is jumping off. It's no time for dancing and all that shit. You gotta get your hands dirty, man. You gotta get your hands dirty, because the game is on right now. All this little goofy circus shit, it's not the time for that shit right now. I can't crack jokes and all that shit right now. Times are too serious right now. All the people I love dearly are being wiped off the fucking earth. And that shit is not a fucking conspiracy theory. That's real shit. I'm watching it happen. I've seen this shit happen hundreds of times. All the people I fuck with. Like, just off my search history alone, I'm probably on a fucking watch list or some shit. Just shit like that. That's why I take all this shit serious, because, you know, it's very easy to come up missing these days. And when I say all this shit, I'm not acting like I'm some sort of fucking important political figure and all this other bullshit. I'm just saying how easy it is to get caught up and get left behind. Caught up and left behind. Yes, I said that right. But instead, you know, the streets probably want me to talk about the whole Jeff Bezos shit and, you know, his wife taking, not even taking, but, you know, earning her $35 billion back and all this shit. But, you know, it's even hard for me to talk about that shit, because I really don't give a fuck. I mean, I know a lot of dudes probably upset that she skated off with so much money, but I can't say she skated off with the money, because she was there before he even had a dollar. She also quit her job to help become his first employee because, you know, she was helping build his dream. So no, in reality, she probably deserved way more. She got $35 billion and she only had 25% of the stocks. So that just lets you know how much fucking money this man possesses and how much power this man possesses. 25% of the company is worth $35 billion. That means this man is worth over $150 billion. Damn near after the divorce. Which is, you know, that's insane amounts of money. Which goes back to Nipsey. Nipsey was building a mindset that you can do all this type of shit. That you can build these types of things in the community. You can amass this type of wealth and fortune. And he was bringing information back to the community with, you know, the whole documentaries and all this shit. And the whole Vector 90 shit, trying to build technology sources and shit for children, platforms and shit for children to learn tech and, you know, do all type of shit like that. So a lot of this shit just hits close to home because a lot of these things are things I want to implement myself, things I want to give back to the community. And I don't even like speaking about this shit because I don't want people to know my plans before I execute it, because I'm just stopping myself. Because when people hear you talking like this, they already know what type of shit you on, and they're already trying to actively stop you and get in the way. So that's why I pretty much hide all this shit for the most part. And the people who hear this shit, they hear this shit. People who don't, they don't. I mean, fuck it. At this point, I'm just kind of ranting and raving, I guess. And I have a whole bunch of shit I could talk about, but I can't get off of this shit. I mean, that shit really fucked up a lot of shit, man. Typically, when celebrities die and shit, that shit has no placement in my life. Like, it has no effect over me. I don't really mourn over it or nothing, but, you know, I really felt this one. That shit really hurt me. This one was pretty close to me. I felt it when he passed away. It wasn't just some rinky-dink ass shit going on. He meant too much to the game. He meant too much to the streets. He meant too much to the community. And that shit definitely hit home. That shit definitely affected me. That shit definitely hurt. And as you can see, thousands of other people felt the same way. And some people just in it, you know, just to get their name in the game and all this type of shit. But it's not really my place to talk about them right now. They'll get weeded out later on, because once again, you'll see their actions after all the smoke clears. You'll see their true agendas and shit. But people who really about this shit are just going to uphold his name and just do real shit in his honor. And for yourself, you have to love yourself. You have to love your own community and shit. That's why I'm not mad that he was back in his hood and all this type of shit. I can't really knock him for that. You can't avoid the streets. You're going to have to be around the streets one way or another. Anytime you step out, you are in the streets. I don't give a fuck where you at, where you live at. I don't give a fuck what your address is. I don't give a fuck who your neighbors are. When you are outside, you are in the streets. It's that goddamn simple. Shit can happen to you anywhere. I've talked about that many times on previous episodes. So if it wasn't there, it could have been a number of situations that could have took him out the game at some point. That's just the risk you take when you are doing wonderful, beautiful things. And when you're trying to affect lives of people who may not even understand what you're trying to do for them at the time. That's the risk you take. When you're trying to provide for people who may have fucked up mindsets at the time or from fucked up environments. But you can't just turn a blind eye to them, because once again, they'll grow to resent you one way or another. And they will come find you one way or another. You just simply can't run away from this shit. And yeah, man, I think that's all I really have for today, man. I appreciate y'all listening. Appreciate the patience. I don't know exactly where this podcast went. I was just kind of talking my shit freely. Didn't really have a structure. Didn't really have a set topic. Just talking my shit, man. Appreciate y'all for listening. WWFLIP, When We Feel Like It Podcast, where we broadcast when the fuck we feel like it. Sean, gone.